हरिः ॐ गणानां त्वा गणपतिगं हवामहे कविं कवीनामुपमश्रवस्तमम् ज्येष्ठराजं ब्रह्मणां ब्रह्मणस्पत आनशृण्वन् भूतिविस्सीदसादनम् महागणपतये नमः प्रणो देवी सरस्वती वाजेभिर्वाजिनीभति धीनामवित्र्यवतु वाग्देव्यै नमः सहना भवतु सहना भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय हरे परमात्मने प्रणतक्लेशनाशाय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः कृष्णाय नमः
ॐ विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाय भूतले श्रीमते स्वामी नमस्ते सरस्वती गौरवाणी रक्षाणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी अश्वताये शतायिने हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधु दीनबंधु जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तत्प्रकंसनगौरांगे राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानु सुहे देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये जयतं सुरतो भंगो महामंदमतिर्गति मत्सर्वस्वफलं भोजो साधामनमोहनो हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Broome Street Ganesha Temple. It's a great pleasure to have you all here. As some of you know, this was our temple for about 15 or 16 years, and then the temple became ours no longer for a number of years, and then somehow, miraculously, last September, it became ours again. We received a lease in December, started building, and opened in January. So, as far as New York City real estate goes, this was somewhat of a miracle, and the miracle, of course, thanks to Mahaganapati. So we're very happy to be here again and to be here with you all. I must say, I'm sitting up here next to Satchinandana Maharaj. It makes me terrified, so I am nervous and sweating. Thank God I do yoga on occasion and know some pranayama to calm myself down. But Maharaj has been a mentor and a guiding force in my life. I'm so happy and really filled with joy that he is a part of my life, and that when I have some troubles, I can go to him and he gives me guidance. And so to sit next to him here really is a great honor and a great joy. And I only hope to do him justice by the small contributions I'll make this evening. Maharaj called me through Bhanu Nandini a couple of weeks ago and said, I'll be coming to New York. Shall we do something at the temple? And I said, absolutely. And he recommended that we do something on pranayama and meditation, also in support of his new book, Inner Stillness. So we will do that tonight. We'll do a little bit of pranayama practice and a short meditation before I hand it back over to Maharaj. As all of you know, since you are devotees and have read all of the texts and all of the scriptures, Lord Krishna speaks very highly of pranayama in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Mahabharata, and in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In fact, there are so many instances where pranayama is discussed in Srimad Bhagavatam. It really has become one of my favorite texts, actually, on yoga. So we're going to do a practice from the Bhagavatam where we will be inhaling through one nostril and then holding our breath for approximately 10,000 years, merging ourselves in the feet of Lord Vishnu, dissolving all identity, and then exhaling out through the right nostril. Now, for those of you who that might be too difficult for, we can start, and also since we're limited to only 1 hour tonight, not 10,000 years, we could also start with something similar, and perhaps easier, if you recommend an easier practice. 10,000 year Kumbhaka. Okay, we'll do something simpler. Okay, so I had one other idea as well. Actually, in Gita, we hear of pranayama spoken of as a yajna, that we're offering prana into apana and apana into prana, so that every breath that we take, every inhalation and every exhalation becomes an offering. And Krishnamacharya, who is the lineage that my teacher was in and that I'm following along with, speaks of how when we inhale, it is the breath of God coming into us. When we retain the breath, we're holding ourselves in God's presence, and then when we exhale, we are surrendering ourselves to the feet of the Lord. Krishnamacharya was a very devout Vaishnava, and so this was his basic feeling of pranayama, that we're inhaling, receiving the breath from the divine, retaining the breath, holding God's presence within our heart, and exhaling, surrendering ourselves to the feet of the Lord. So why don't we start with doing that practice just for a couple of minutes, and then we'll do a very nice practice afterwards, which is also invoking Lord Krishna. So please sit comfortably straight. You don't have to be super, super straight, just comfortably straight. And bring your awareness to the sensation of the breath flowing in your nostrils. Nothing more than that. And now as you sense the breath flowing in your nostrils, begin directing the breath high in your nasal cavity, near the sense of smell, near your olfactory nerves. And you can imagine any scent which you really like. Maybe it's a scent of jasmine or of sandalwood, or how at the end of the morning puja in Vrindavan or Govardhan or at the Radha Gopinath temple, everyone gets to smell the perfumed flower. You can imagine that scent coming high into the nose at the sense of smell. And as you inhale, savor that smell, that memory of the smell. And as you exhale, let your awareness remain at the point near the sense of smell. So as you inhale, you're savoring the smell and lengthening the amount of time that you inhale ever so slightly. And as you exhale, you're keeping your awareness at the olfactory nerves and almost restraining the breath a little so it leaves the body very slowly. Inhale, savoring the scent. Exhale, very lightly letting go of the breath, but keeping it somewhat fixed high in the nose. And now as you inhale and savor the breath, feel that you are receiving Lord Krishna's grace through the form of breath. And when your inhalation finishes, pause for a moment and feel that presence in your heart. And when you're ready to exhale, let the breath be very light with the sense of surrender. Sharanagati. It's not mine. The breath is not mine. Inhale, receiving. The breath is Lord Krishna's grace. Holding it in your heart as presence for a moment. And then as you let the breath go, this breath is not mine. It's a gift from the divine. Do that for about a minute or so. And then relax the breath for a moment. Sit in silence with the feeling of that presence, of divinity, of grace, the gift of breath. In the Bible, in the book of Genesis, there's a verse that says, and God blew into the nostrils, and man became a soul. And it's not just at one time that God blows into our nostrils and our soul is enlivened. It's every single breath. God is blowing into our nostrils and enlivening our soul. Okay, then we can relax and gently open the eyes. Okay, this is the first practice. Maharaj, can you tell me how bumblebees are sacred to Lord Krishna? We have a very high-tech setup here.
Yes, I just wanted to say this is Vrindavan style. It is very...
We like to be authentic.
Yes. Lord Krishna is known to take even the form of the bumblebee because the yellow part that yellow has remind him of his yellow dhoti, and the blackish complexion, the bluish blackish complexion of a paka bumblebee are reminiscent of his effulgence. We have this in the Brahmara Gita, or the Gita of the bumblebee, where Uddhava comes with a message of love to the Brijbasis. He has letters from Lord Krishna for all the Brijbasis, and then he goes to Srimati Radharani, who is grief-stricken in Krishna's absence. And as he begins to talk to her, a bumblebee makes its appearance. The bumblebee, we hear from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, has come all the way from Mathura. This bumblebee is Krishna, actually. And Krishna relishes the response of Srimati Radharani to his letter that is delivered to, or read to Radharani by Uddhava. And as this beautiful scene progresses, Radharani gets a feeling that this bumblebee who's flying there is no one else than her beloved Lord Krishna. And she turns her attention from Uddhava and directs it to the bumblebee and sings the Brahmara Gita, the song of the bumblebee. It is a very evocative scene, but bumblebees in general have the dhoti, you know, this yellowish part of Krishna, the blackish blue complexion of Lord Krishna. And in Vrindavan, when bumblebees appear somewhere, the devoted Brijbasis think, this could be Krishna who comes like he came so many thousands of years ago. Good. So we will go on. No, we are experienced, Ben.
So, thank you for that story. So what we are going to do now is the Brahmhari Pranayama. So if everyone could just sit comfortably straight, inhale, and then keeping your mouth closed, exhale and make a little bit of a high-pitched humming sound like a bee. So it's almost like you're saying the word num or sing. It's not so much at the lips like a ma, like an omkara, but a little further back in the palate and in the throat. Try again. Inhale. Wonderful. So humming is interesting. It has a lot of very important physiological effects. But it's also something we naturally do when we're pleased about something. If we taste something really delicious, a really good gulab jamun, we go, that was really yummy. A very nice, tasty prasad. That was so good. So humming, when we do the humming like this, it's the sound of joy, the sound of pleasure, the sound of contentment, just drawing it out for a really long time. So like, that was really the most delicious mango. And just go on for a long time. Now we're going to do one other thing, which is going to increase the impact of this pranayama 1,000-fold. And I'll just show you one time. We're going to, this is called the Shanmukhi Mudra. We're going to close our eyelashes with our index fingers. If you haven't done this before, just watch once. I'm going to rest my middle fingers on the hard cartilage of my nose. My ring fingers go above my upper lip. My pinkies go below my lower lip. And then I'm going to close the flap of the ear called the tragus. This is the Shanmukhi Mudra, and then I'll inhale through my nose. Until my breath naturally peters out. No strain in the breath at all. Now, because your ears are going to be closed doing this, you're not going to hear all my instructions, so I'm going to give them to you now. You're going to do this 5 times on your own, and then after 5 times, you're going to breathe 2 more times, staying in the Shanmukhi Mudra, and then after 2 breaths, you're going to rest your hands down and just feel the expansion of the sense organs. Okay? So, first fingers over your eyelashes, closing the eyes. Middle fingers rest on the nose, but don't close the nose, you won't be able to breathe. Your ring fingers go just above your upper lip. If they don't meet, it's okay. The pinkies go below your lips, and if they don't meet, it's okay. Then you're going to firmly close your ears and do 5 Brahmhari humming breaths. Go ahead. five times, take two normal breaths, still in Shanmukhi Mudra. And then resting the hands down onto the knees, let your awareness fill your inner ear. Feel a softness in the brain, in the muscles of the face. And then let's gently rub the palms together, making them warm. And then we can press the palms over the face, warming the facial nerves, the eyes, the throat, bringing prana to the throat. Rub down the arms and the legs. And then we'll gaze into the open palms, keeping the hands about 12 inches away from the body, 34 centimeters, as you open your eyes. Anybody feel good? Thumbs up? Good. This is a deeply, deeply soothing pranayama. It gives a massage to the brain, sends signals to the whole nervous system to down-regulate, to be calm, that everything is calm, everything is safe, everything is in the right place, everything can self-regulate. And what it does is it creates a state of receptivity in the nervous system and in the mind for whatever practice you might be doing next, whether it's meditation or mantra or yoga asanas or anything. It's a very important part of the pranayama practices is making the nervous system receptive to whatever changes you want to make in your life, imposing new patterns of potential and possibility. So I will conclude there and pass the mic to Maharaj.
So I would like to welcome also in for myself a little closer, yes. Let me, yes, thank you, affectionately welcome all of you. I'm very happy to see you here in this space which Eddie and myself feel it was really given by divine intervention for a particular purpose. And if you study the bookshelf there, you will find the Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita as one of the important wisdom texts that Eddie refers to in his teaching. Eddie has opened the space, as he explained to me, for all kinds of genuine spiritual seekers also. Therefore, he's happy to have you here this evening. I would like, before I start, to just frame this contribution of mine a little bit. My idea in asking Eddie to guide us into pranayama, thank you, is twofold. I have been in my own spiritual development seeing that it is so much easier to practice the practices of bhakti when the mind is calm and receptive to the holy name. And I have been inspired by two statements. One is in the Bhagavatam and one is from Prabhupada Dai to his disciples. And the Bhagavatam, it says, just like fire purifies gold that is alloyed, other metals mixed in it, and makes it pure. In the same way, pranayama purifies the mind so that it can think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Prabhupada was retiring to leave this world in Vrindavan, he wrote a letter to his secretary saying, I wish to teach this pranayama so that the mind can be good for bhakti without any problem. He said like this, without any problem. So it is very helpful to calm the mind. The calm and peaceful mind can receive the gifts of bhakti much better than the rajasic and tamasically influenced mind. I would like to guide you in a meditation. Let me describe to you what meditation can do for you. I refer to an Upanishadic text. The question is asked, who or what sees the world? The I. Who or what then sees the I? The mind. Who or what sees the mind? The body or intelligence. Who or what then, tell me, sees even the subtle body, the Atma? Who or what sees the Atma? And here the Vaishnavas will translate Brahman as Krishna. Krishna sees the soul. And other traditions will say Paramatma, the super soul. Meditation, my dear devotees, means to reverse your perception. You go deeper and deeper. You calm the mind and the intelligence and arrive finally at the Atma and the Supreme Atma, Lord Krishna or the Paramatma. This is what meditation can do for you. Most of the time our consciousness, like a Western saloon door, swings out into the world. What if the door swings in the other way, the inside way? What will you see when the consciousness turns upon itself, no longer obsessed with the changing things of the world? When you look inside, or to quote one God brother, when you do the journey within, you will first of all see the mind and its waves. What if you look deeper? You will see the source of the mind, the consciousness. What if you look even deeper? You will find the source of the consciousness, that is the Supreme Lord. Meditation is also important for Vaishnavas when they ask the question, what is Krishna doing right now? After all, I don't know if you have heard, there's a movement called the Krishna Consciousness Movement, means they are conscious of Krishna. So they will ask the question, I'm asking her, saying it a little bit of German, edgy humor, but it's loving humor, the way to talk like this in Germany. So my dear everyone, when you become interested in what Krishna is doing, you like to remember what you have heard from the Bhagavatam. You first draw in these memories as they come. Maybe you like to talk with someone about, oh, I heard this about Krishna. then you like to think in a more systematic way about Krishna. What is he doing? And finally, your memory becomes uninterrupted, like a stream of oil that comes down, and you are always in Krishna consciousness. In fact, when you look at the world, you see nothing but Krishna. Yomam Pashyanti Sarvasya. He who sees me everywhere and everything in me is never separated from me, and I am never separated from him. In the meditation in which I would like to guide you, I will try to bring your consciousness in. I will try to help you reverse the outgoing into the ingoing process, and I will try to remind you of Krishna. The meditation will have four steps. The first two I actually learned, believe it or not, in an online Zoom lesson from Eddie and your good friend in Mumbai. Please tell me, Harsh, yes. I learned the four steps. They are very traditional steps given in Shastra. The next step I will use visualization. But then, and this is very important that you are to actually doing it, I will leave you to meditate on yourself. Not on yourself, by yourself. In other words, I will try to bring you in a state where you will no longer think about your mobile phones, your non-answered emails, the burden of WhatsApp and what you all have to do. No, this will all be put at rest for some time, and then you are free to move on your own where your consciousness brings you. Good. Are you willing to do this? Oh, this was very shy.
Yes.
It's okay, isn't it?
Yes.
We came for this. I will share from my little book, upcoming book. But this is not an advertisement session. By no means. I will share with you a meditation which we have called the One and Different Meditation, which will help us to feel the interconnectedness of all living beings. Lord Krishna says everything rests upon him like the pearls of the thread, and in this way everything is connected through him. Through this meditation we will dissolve the ideas of aham ameti, I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm a German, I'm an American, I'm a body, but we will actually come to our spiritual essence, and we will from there release a feeling of compassion, and then we will stay in a space and we will are free to move. For the meditation to work at the end, we will sing kirtan. For this I request the harmonium to go maybe here. And Madhava, may I request you to come and play the mridanga? And maybe I can, for nostalgic reasons, ask Achyuta Gopi and Ananda Govinda to come also here to the kirtan party, because our Eddie has, when we did programs together in the old Broom Street temple, and you sang, he noticed you have soul. So we can't do without you. Amanda Govinda, maybe I should give you a pair of cuddles, or do you have one?
Yeah.
We have, good. Bert, to our musical team, please play the instruments very softly. Yes, I also request all of you to come closer, because then we will create a very good spiritual energy. Look, what do we see? What is the most touching? You can even wear on sea. Yes, yes. I'm so happy to share this with all of you. I really feel I will share something from my heart, and I really hope that when you leave the Broom Street Temple in this program, you will have become a little bit richer with this genuine spiritual experience. Not an experience where you think it's an experience and your mind tells something, but where you actually connect with this deeper experience, which are beyond the mental fluctuations. Very sorry, my voice.